when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you dear, precious Blood River Radio family members out there. I'll tell you what, it's been a tough week, been a fun week. It's been great to be alive. John Gotti once said that every day above ground is a good day. And with my life, the way it's been going lately, it is very applicable to me, yours truly. And who is me? Who is yours truly? My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And what do I do? I'm the founder, the proud owner of Blood River Radio, the only radio outlet in the United States and possibly the world who we have pledged our honor, we have pledged our fortune to quote and to emulate Thomas Jefferson, to fight on the holy altar of God, to fight against the Officer Corps of Satan, who has been waging a war of white global genocide ever since thousands of years before the Jews said to give us Barabbas. Actually, it started in the Garden of Eden. That's what we do here at Blood River Radio. And one thing, we're getting ready to finish up this week, this is Charlottesville month. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. We've always said this is a Christian radio show. And in just a minute, we're going to go to a quick prayer. But before that, I'll have to tell you people what the date is. And I know you know, but for some reason, I love to do it. This is the 19th of August, a year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, 2023. There is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than that of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who tells you what. If you don't believe me, just get on your knees and pray. Like the Apostle Paul said, pray pray without ceasing. I put it that way. I can't emulate the Apostle Paul. But anyway, people, so we're going to do what the Apostle Paul does. We're going to say a quick prayer. So if you will, people, please bow your heads. Almighty Father God, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of all this seen and unseen, you Lord, you spoke everything we know in existence by just speaking. And you did it, Lord. And Lord has also said that man doesn't need a Bible. He doesn't need a preacher. All he needs, everything he needs really, is you, O Lord. You've promised us that you would put, starting with the New Testament, at the end of the Old Testament, so to speak, you promised that you would put the knowledge of God in each man's heart. They would have no excuse. So, Lord, that's what we believe here. But we believe, Lord, that with all your mercy, you sent, and this is the crux of the whole gospel, Lord, you sent your only Son to earth to pay the sin price that we humans could not possibly pay. We could not possibly do anything good because we are incapable of doing good. That's pretty much the gist of the gospel. The gospel is man sinned. Original sin, Garden of Eden, we're still sinning. We're saved by grace and grace alone through faith. At least any man should boast. Even our good deeds are likened to the filthy rags of the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord. Lord, I would ask you to please continue to stay with Blood River Radio, to stay with Liberty News, to stay with Jay and his precious family and all of our Blood River Radio family and all of our family Blood River Radio members. Protect us. Let us always ride to the sound of the gunfire. Let us never, ever waver in our duty to fight in every way possible to defeat the officer corps of the devil and to thwart them in exterminating your people, the white race of America. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, last week, I forgot to say the donors. That's been happening more and more lately. Seem like I'm getting more forgetful. I think it's has to do with a few things going on in my health life and a few other things. But anyway, without donors, we could not possibly run this radio show. And our donors this past week and this week was our man, Jay-Z from AZ. My God, what a stalwart man. I've said it before, I'll continue to say this. Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Zone, AZ, was there in Vietnam, up close and personal. He has the wounds to believe to prove it. He is a member of the Purple Heart Society. Yes, he is. I'm so proud of that man. I really am. I love him to death. Also, we have Lynn of Lynnbrook, New York. Big Ben. He contributes every month, like clockwork, sometimes more. God bless Jay-Z from AZ, and God bless Lynn of Lynnbrook. And also, we got a donation from our buddy, the Sasquatch himself, the Sasquatch and Mrs. Sasquatch, living down in where those Sasquatches, Bigfoot, hang out. Some of them hang out in Arkansas, but this particular one hangs out down around in the Florida, Georgia area down there. Anyway, thank you so much, Sasquatch, and Lynn of Lynnbrook, New York, and Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Zone, AZ. Thank you so much. I could not emphasize that enough. I could not thank you enough. And also, I need to dedicate this program to our brother, Mr. Buddy, in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Mr. Buddy saved Blood River Radio one time. I'll have to tell that story one of these days of how he saved us. He probably doesn't even know it. But we were broke. We didn't have enough money in our Blood River Radio bank account. Me, Lee Cochran, and Matt Goodwin had spent every nickel we had. And we didn't have enough. And just out of the blue, this check shows up. I think it was God's will and the will of Mr. Buddy. But I'd like to dedicate this show to Mr. Buddy. And I hope he's listening. I hope he's listening uninterfered. People, I'll give you a quick outline. This is Charlottesville month. Charlottesville was, you've heard us say it, was a watershed moment in the history of the world. Of the Western world, especially a watershed moment in the history of the United States of America. Many things have changed since that day. And one of the things I'm most proud of that I've done since I've been on this earth is being a member at Charlottesville, being there as a member of the Liberty News Radio broadcast team. That was my first job as a field representative for Liberty News. And next week, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to have several guests on. We're going to have Miss Patty, Rand's wife. We're going to have Rich Hamblin, one of our brothers who wrote to Charlottesville. We're going to have Brad Griffin. He's going to come on. Mark Tommy was supposed to come on the fourth segment, but he's not going to be able to. So we're going to do other things. And we, people, that's what we're doing tonight. And look, without further ado, you know, we're going to bring our first guest on as soon as Miss Lizzie gets a chance to bring her on. I'm really excited to be working with Miss Patty. I had no idea she was in Charlottesville. Matter of fact, I saw her photograph. Rand sent me some photographs up from Charlottesville, and somebody took a photograph of me right next to Rand's car in the parking garage right before we went into the park. And Miss Patty was standing to my right, if you look at the photograph. Anyway, we're going to bring Miss Patty on because she was there. She really was. And she's going to ride shotgun with us. Miss Lizzie's calling her right now. Since Mark called in, you know, in fact, I just talked to Mark a few minutes ago. I said, you know how organized I am. Here I am. I'm calling Mark like 22 minutes before airtime. And I'm so organized, folks. And I said, hey, he might want to ride shotgun with me because I'm going to be gone one day in September, God willing, and for a week in November when I run the New York Marathon. And so I thought, well, Mark and or Rand might want to sit in the bombardier's chair while I'm gone. So anyway, I'm very excited to have Miss Patty on. And I think she's there if I heard Miss Lizzie right. Are you there, Miss Patty?
Yes, sir.
I am so excited to have you on, little girl. I'm telling you, I'm just calling you Miss Patty because I'm old school. I always I'm very old school. I don't know if you heard my introduction, but I didn't know you were in Charlottesville until I guess about a week ago. Rand was sending me all these photographs, and he saw it was in the parking garage. Had a photograph of me, and he said that pickup truck right behind me was his truck, and over to the right, he said that good looking young lady in the orange top was you, his wife. So. Without further ado, I want you to introduce yourself and tell us how in the hell have you put up with living with Rand all this time? And I just don't. But anyway, give a quick introduction, a bow, and you can ride shotgun with me the whole show if you want to, because Mark called in. It's your call. Mark Tommy's, but I'm sure you know him. He's not going to be in the fourth segment. But we always fly by the seat of our pants here. But we'll be going to a quick break in just a second. But before we go to break, get us a quick – I've been running my mouth too much already. Give us a quick – tell us who you are, quick bio, and then and after this next commercial coming up any second, we'll let you give your experience at Charlottesville. So give us a quick bio, Sister Patty.
Well, I'm just your typical Southern woman. Love being a Southerner. Been in the South my entire life. Wouldn't want to live anywhere else. Married to a Southern boy. A redneck, but anyway. That's okay. But, I'm so Southern, it just pure hurts, you know. but that's okay.
Well, Miss Patty, there's that music. I don't know if you can hear it that we were talking about the break. As we come back this break, Miss Patty, we're going to bring you on. We're going to let you rock and roll, sister. Folks, hang on. You all know Rand, the Alabama Lone Wolf. His wife is coming on right after this quick break, so don't go anywhere.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you're well, dear Blood River Radio family, I hope you're as excited as I am to have him. You know, everybody knows Rand the Alabama Lone Wolf. He is the heart and soul. I'm going to tell you what. Rand is exactly what Thomas Jefferson had in mind when he gave his vision of what the fledgling United States should be about. Thomas Jefferson wanted a country of an agrarian country with small landowners, small farmers, to independent people to till the soil and to be rock hard, strong, healthy, strong mentally, strong spiritually. that fits Rand to a T, and I bet you $10 to a donut that it fits Miss Patty, who we're bringing on right now. Miss Patty, go ahead and tell us what we're talking about during the break. Tell us about Charlottesville and anything that comes to your mind. So go ahead. Okay. Go ahead, Miss Patty.
All right. Well, Charlottesville was a big surprise. You know, I'm an amateur photographer, and I enjoy going to these public events just to kind of hone my skills with my camera. And I've been to several of these rallies, and always before Charlottesville, when we had a rally, it was calm, quiet, almost enjoyable. It was just like a reunion every time we got together. And it has progressively gotten worse with the violence and the people that are just angry at everybody. But the problem is, always at every event I've been to before, the police managed to keep everything under control. If there was any kind of little, you know, physical violence or any kind of little fights that broke out, they were taken care of immediately so that it wouldn't escalate. But Charlottesville was a whole different animal. Looking back, it was a trap. It was well orchestrated. It was planned, I mean, to the hilt. And I'm still shocked when I think about it. And I've been going over it all day in my mind, trying to figure out why we didn't see it before we got involved in the middle of this awful situation. But, you know, when we got together, we all met at the parking deck, walked down Market Street, tried to get into the park where, from what I understand, the Nationalists had a legal permit to hold a rally in the park. They get to the park, and it's blocked by this massive mob of very young people, very angry, very nasty, just horrible. They didn't want the Nationalists to get into the park. So obviously they pushed on through, and it just escalated from there. I didn't even get into the park until later, because while they were fighting to get into the park, somebody came through, and I wasn't even in the session. I was over on the sidewalk taking pictures. Someone sprayed me with pepper spray, so I'm on my hands and knees just heaving and gagging and trying to regain my composure. And that's when, you know, I could hear the fighting and the bodies hitting the ground, and oh, it was just awful. And so in my mind, judging by the past rallies, all I could think of was, well, the police, when I get up, I'm going to see the police putting handcuffs on these people and taking them to jail because they're, you know, fighting in public. That didn't happen. The police stood there, shoulder to shoulder, with their arms folded, and laughed. They laughed. I mean, that's not their job, to stand there and laugh. But anyway, you know, the Nationalists finally get into the park, and it was like several hours of fighting, literally fighting, just to stand there. They had rocks thrown at them, bricks thrown at them, open bottles of urine thrown at them,
yes,
feces thrown at them. As a matter of fact, I remember hearing Katie Couric make the comment that somebody threw feces on her and insinuated that it was the Nationalist. I remember that so well.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, she was just so upset. But it was the others. It was the other people that did that. But anyway, we finally, after hours, are told that they're going to shut it down. They're going to make everybody leave. The riot police, dressed to the hilt in their, you know, protective gear, get behind the Nationalists in Lee Park and force them out into that mob again. And you know, I mean, why would you do that? Why would you cause more violence? I mean, it was ridiculous. And that's when everybody there got separated. you know, because everybody was going in different ways, trying to avoid more violence. And I got separated from everybody, and because I went, instead of going back towards town where everybody had parked, I went to the right and ended up walking towards a residential area. And wow. I was so lost. I had no clue where I was, no idea. I was scared to death. And here's dozens of people walking around me, and I'm just looking around like, okay, are they friend or foe, you know?
Man.
Anyway, as I'm walking, I finally glance over, and I see a young lady that I remember from the parking deck. And so I kind of eased over, and I said, are you lost too? And she says, yes, I am. So I said, well, come walk with me, and we'll find our way back. We had no idea where we were or how to get back to the parking deck, but I knew I wasn't going back through that mob.
I'll bet. That's one damn thing you knew for sure.
Heck yeah. So anyway, as we're walking, I glance over and I see what I thought to be a church. So I said, well, let's go over here and see if we can get somebody to help us. And so there was I took it to be a priest standing out front, you know, on his cell phone, talking, you know. And so I walked up, and I waited till he got off the phone, and then I just calmly said, sir, I'm so sorry, I'm lost, and can you tell me how to get back to the parking deck that's near the police station? He looked at me with such disgust, and he says, oh, you're with them, aren't you? What? You're a man of God. Oh. Judging me? I mean, he didn't know who I was. And it really bothered me. So anyway, I said, look, I just want to go home. Please, I just want to go home. And so he took his phone, and he very angrily, he pulls up a map and shows it to me. Well, I mean, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know how to get to where he was showing me. But I just thanked him and walked away. And I told the little girl, I said, come on, we'll find our way back. So we started walking back towards Lee Park. And we're on the sidewalk now walking, and this gentleman in his car runs up on the curb and he slams on brakes. And all I can think of is, oh my God, is he going to run over us and kill us? You know? And then I realized there's something wrong with him. So we go help him out of the car. Somebody had just driven by and sprayed him with pepper spray as he was driving down the road. So normally, he almost wrecked his vehicle and killed us. But we helped him out, and then somebody else came over and took some water, and we were trying to wash his eyes out, and they called 911. And I'm telling you, it wasn't 10 seconds before a police officer was there in his car. And so we helped the gentleman, and the police officer did what he was supposed to do. And then I just walked up to him, and I said, sir, can you help me get back to the parking deck near the police station? He just looks and he says, you knew what you were getting into. I can't help you.
No kidding.
He's a police officer. What happened to serve and protect? You
My
know?
God.
I know. So I just said, I just looked at him. I said, thank you, sir. I'm good. You know, that man's got to live with that for the rest of his life. You know, that he didn't help somebody that asked for help. So, and I hate it. I do. But I just told the little girl, I said, come on. I said, we're going to be okay. Let's go. And so we walked on, and then we met up with a little boy or a young man. You can tell I'm old because everybody's a little boy or a little girl. Anyway,
I know the feeling.
I know. We walked up on this little boy that had, I knew he was with the Nationalists because he had a huge Confederate flag. I said, oh, my
That's goodness. A big giveaway.
Yes. And I said, I told him, I said, you're lost, right? He says, mm-hmm. I said, well, come on. We'll find our way back. Come on. So the three of us are walking, and we're trying to avoid any confrontations, which was really difficult. And somehow we managed to find a way to get behind.
Ms. Patty, we have to go to a quick break. Hang on. Don't move. Don't move an inch. We have to go to a quick break. You can't go anywhere. Be right back, folks.
We
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Southern California is bracing for landfall as Hurricane Hillary moves toward the West Coast.
President Biden has a warning for residents.
I urge everyone in the path of this storm to take precautions and listen to the guidance from state and local officials.
The region is under its first ever tropical storm watch. Meteorologist Courtney Carpenter with the National Weather Service says Hillary will likely arrive tomorrow as a tropical storm.
This will bring significant and potentially dangerous and rare impacts to portions of Southern California and the Southwest U.S.
Hillary is expected to weaken before it reaches Southern California, but will still likely bring heavy rain and flooding. It's expected to make landfall as a tropical storm Sunday night or early Monday morning. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Hawaiian officials say the death toll from the Lahaina wildfire is now 114. Hawaii's First Lady Jamie Green called the deaths tragic.
Tragically, it took less than a single day for us to lose Lahaina in the deadliest fire our country has seen in more than a century.
Governor Josh Green vowed to rebuild Lahaina. More than 1,000 people remain missing. A recent poll indicates that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and conservative businessman Vivek Ramaswamy are now tied for second place in the GOP primary. DeSantis saw a significant decrease from his previous 21% support in June. Now both he and Ramaswamy are at 10%. Former President Trump leads the Republican race with a commanding 56% support among likely GOP voters, as per the Emerson College poll. China is conducting military drills around Taiwan in an angry response to the Taiwanese vice president's recent stopovers in the U.S. China said earlier today the drills are a serious warning to separatist elements in Taiwan. And Americans will likely run out of their pandemic savings this quarter. That's according to a study from the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. This is USA News.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. 800-738-0170. That's 800-738-0170.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, God does work in mysterious ways. Mark, our brother, our hellfire brimstone, fire-breathing brother, Mark Tommy, can't make it. We found out just before showtime. But like I told everybody, hey man, that's the way you gotta write. You gotta be able to fly by the seat of your pants when you do live radio. So we just made a good judgment. When I say God works in mysterious ways, I'm telling you what, this young lady right here, Miss Patty, I'm gonna tell you what, the Alabama Lone Wolf needs to be prepared just to wash dishes and stuff like that on Saturdays. I think she may have stole his spot. But because really she is knocking it out of the park. So Miss Patty, go ahead and continue on what you were talking about, because you're killing it, girl.
Okay. Well, as I said, the three of us managed to find, and I can't even remember how we found this little pig trail, to get around the mob and behind Lee Park. And in doing this, we thought, man, this is great. We're heading back towards, you know, downtown. This is great. So we're walking, and it seems like we walked for miles. We continue walking, and I see another line of police officers. I mean, just shoulder to shoulder. It was like a barricade. And as we walked up to them, they kept saying, oh, you can't come through here. You can't go beyond us. You've got to go back, which meant we would have to go back to the mob. And I had made my mind up. You might as well put the cuffs on me because I'm not going back into that mob. I asked one of them. I said, well, can you tell me how I can get to the parking deck? And he looks at me and he's laughing. He says, I mean, this guy was like 5 feet tall, you know, a little munchkin. But anyway, he says, ma'am, I'm not from here. I don't know. Okay. All right. Good. We're all good. And I looked at the guy beside him and I could see in this guy's eyes that he wanted desperately to tell me to help me. I could see it. I could feel it. But this, you know, these people, this was their livelihood, and I didn't want them to risk losing their jobs for me, you know. And I could tell this little boy wanted to help so bad. But I said, okay, no, that's fine. You know, that's fine. So we walked back towards this mob. And I don't know, it was the grace of God, that's all I can say, and give him the glory for this. But we managed to find a little courtyard. And in this courtyard, there were several little boutiques and ice cream shops. And we kind of cut through there. And there were still a lot of the, I hate to say the enemy there. There were a lot of the misled young people in that courtyard, but it was a calmer crowd. Now, they did heckle. They gave us, you know, they called us names, and but they didn't hit us. They didn't throw things at us, but there was a lot of heckling going on. And, you know, I didn't need that. I was already distraught. But as we were walking through that, which seemed to take forever, I heard this older lady just giving these young kids, I mean, excuse me, but she was giving them pure hell. And so I looked at her. Yeah. She told a few of them that they had shut up. She was going to moon. I mean, she was giving them hell. And so I walked over and I said, are you okay? And she says, yeah, I'm just trying to get back to the parking deck. I said, well, honey, come on. Now there are four of us. I mean, I just kept picking up strays. But Lord God, I was so glad I could.
It's so funny anyway, now, but it sure wasn't funny then.
No. But, you know, all I can think of is, if they'll just let me get that parking deck, I'm going to get down and kiss the ground. I'll be so happy.
I'll bet.
Yeah, we continued through this. You know, this calm crowd that's still being mean. And it seemed like forever, but we get finally to a street, and there were police officers blocking us, and it looked like a normal business district. And so we continued walking, and as we were coming around a corner of a building, I look up and I see this big old tall guy with long legs loping over. It was Rand. I've never been so happy to see that rascal in my life. But, oh, my Lord, I was so thankful. But, you know, just getting from, you know, from where we were to there. And at that point, I knew, okay, we're safe. You know, we're good. And it was an ordeal. But I'll tell you this whole thing was incredibly dangerous for all concerned, because there were so many people that got injured from all of this. And I mean, some of them have scars and some of them still have challenges. There were some that still can't see very well from the chemicals that were sprayed in their eyes. And it's just the emotional trauma of knowing that you can't even get up there and share your thoughts or share your opinion without violence. You know, I mean, that's just not right. And what was really interesting is, you know, like I said before, they had the barrier of the police officers that were standing shoulder to shoulder for like blocks. I mean, they had you trapped. But then on the other end of that block, they had the National Guard standing up there line. So, and they had every piece of equipment you can imagine. The only thing they didn't have was tanks. Because when I was looking, because I was just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, I couldn't believe it. But you know, that's on them. They've got to pay for that with, you know, with the people that orchestrated all that are the ones that are going to have to pay for that at some time. I don't have to worry with that. But it just really bothered me that you had a priest and several police officers that would not, that just did not want to help an individual. It doesn't matter what side they were on. It's still an individual in need. Where's just being a good human being? Where did that go?
True.
I mean, that's just wrong. But as we went back up into the parking deck, we were up there for, I guess, maybe an hour or so. We glanced over the railing because we were up on, I guess, the second level. Or maybe
I know
third.
What you're going to say. I know exactly what you're going to say, but continue on. You're doing a great job.
We looked down, and there were the riot police being lined up to go back in to take care of that mob that would not leave down, you know, downtown. They wouldn't leave. They had to go back down there and get rid of them. You didn't see that on the news either, did you?
No, ma'am.
I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, I'm just thankful that we survived it. And you know, I'm glad. Most of all, I'm thankful that I was there so I could witness what truly happened. And that's another point I want to bring up. I appreciate you and all the people behind the scenes. I just thank y'all for getting the truth out there, because there are so many people that have no clue what's going on in our country. So we just appreciate you getting the truth out there.
Well, thank you so much. I think that is a very high, honorable compliment. That's you've honored me this day, Miss Patty. You certainly have.
I'm very sincere in saying that. I mean, how many people do this? How many people will stick their necks out every Saturday to try to let people know what's really going on in our country? Not many. So we do appreciate you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. Sometimes, I've talked to different people, including Rand. I said, when I first, I don't want to get off topic, but a minute, because you're doing such a marvelous job. You have such authenticity and such spontaneity and truthfulness. You come across as a natural. But anyway, I was talking to Rand, other people. When I first got into the so-called movement years and years ago, in fact, I was fighting on the streets back in the late 50s and early 60s, just fighting to get to and from school through the darkest of Mogadishu, South Memphis. And so I've been around a long time. And when I first got into this movement, I used to be in the NAAWP, National Association for the Advancement of White People, that Duke started. I'm not a member of the Klan. I thought about becoming an honorary member of the Klan. I visit them over in Zinc, Arkansas. But I found out this. The majority of people in this, our so-called movement, have a different agenda than what Eddie the Bob Deere Miller has. We've had one agenda here since we started this program, to fight global white genocide. We identify the enemy. We all know who the enemy is. I don't even have to name it tonight, because everybody and his mama that listens to this program knows that I know who the enemy is. That Rand knows. We all know who the enemy is. We know that. But we're going to a quick break. As soon as we come back, we're going to go right back to you, Miss Patty. You're the all-star tonight, so don't go. Don't move. Don't move an inch. Be right back, folks.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the line of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare The lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, what a contrast we had. We couldn't have a greater contrast with our guerrilla general, who I admire so much. This kind lady right here, I was just telling her she's a welcome, a fantastically welcome addition to our hellfire and brimstone, and let's mount the bayonets and kill, because she's coming across as a God-fearing lady, a mother, with that Christian affect about her, the Christian spirit coming across, kindness, no bitterness in her heart, and she's coming across. I don't know who could not believe this lady, but anyway, with that, Miss Patty. I think you're doing an incredibly job tonight. So if you will continue on with the way you were going, I'm going to get out of your way and let you go.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Well, another point that comes to mind with this whole Charlottesville incident, when a soldier is going into battle, just like the soldiers over in Afghanistan, Iraq, you know, they have on helmets. They have on the bulletproof vest and all kinds of protective gear because they know that the enemy is coming after them and they've got to protect themselves any way they can. Now, when you look at some of the videos and the pictures and all that from Charlottesville, who had on the protective armor? Who had the shields? Who had on the helmet? And then who didn't? The white nationalists had the shields and the helmet, because they knew that Antifa and Black Lives Matter were coming after them, and they had to have protection. But the other guys didn't have any because they knew that they didn't need it, because they knew what was going on. They knew they were the ones in control. They were the ones that were going to be the aggressors. And that should tell people something. I mean, that speaks volumes in my mind. I mean, also, that poor fellow that was in his car trying to back out of that mob was accused of running over people.
Correct.
You know, killing people purposely. Why would you back into a crowd to kill them? Does that make sense when you think about it?
No, ma'am. I'll tell you what you're doing, because I've been in circumstances like that. He was surrounded by God only knows how many mob members, and they were beating on his windshield, beating on his the windows of his car, trying to get if they had got him out of that car, they would have killed him. His name was James Field. He'll rot in prison. What else the hell was he supposed to do? But anyway, continue on, Miss Patty.
That's the way I look at it. What was he supposed to do? Because before it was taken down, there was a video of him being harassed, being poked and punched. You could see people in the background going through his car, stealing stuff, but yet nobody knows about that. I mean, you get in a car. Okay, think about it. You're going to always in, you know, the news, you hear about people running into a crowd to kill them because they don't like them. They're always going forward. I mean, hello. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. But this poor kid was going backwards trying to get out of there. And I mean, I can't believe that people, I just can't believe people would do this to another person and lie. And, you know, it's just wrong. You've got people in prison right now that probably, I don't know, they're going to be there the whole time. They will not get out early for good behavior. They won't be pardoned.
No,
they're going to serve the entire, every day that they've been sentenced, they're going to serve it to the last minute. And that is so wrong. If it were if it were the other side, they would probably not even go to jail. You know, that's so unfair. You just have people that have a different opinion, and yet we're persecuted because you don't agree with mainstream. It's just not right. And I'm not one to try to cause trouble, but I am entitled to my opinion. I'm entitled to speak freely of my opinion. And I shouldn't be afraid somebody's going to violently attack me or physically assault me or anything. That's not right. It doesn't happen to others, just us. You know what I mean? So not fair. I'm so tired of the double standard in everything in this country. We deserve better. We all just be fair. Just be fair with everybody. It's just pointless to continue to divide everybody in this country. It's wrong. God didn't create us to continue hating each other and continually fight with each other. I mean, that's not his way of looking at us. He loves us. He wants us all to love each other. I don't understand why our government wants to divide everybody. I guess you divide and conquer, though. There you go. That just popped in my head. You can't conquer a nation unless you divide it. So that, I guess that's our challenge at this point. But Charlottesville was a nightmare from the get-go. I hate that things happened the way they did. I hate that people were hurt. I hate that people are in jail. But the way I look at it is, you know, Heavenly Father's in control, and He's going to take care of everything.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Patty, I have a question. Did I understand you to say that Katie Couric was there in Charlottesville?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw.
I had no idea. I didn't know that. Here it's been 6 years since Charlottesville. I didn't know that until this very night. She was. Go ahead.
She was there like a day or two before.
Oh, okay.
And you know, because I think that whole week people were going around interviewing people in the churches and the community because everybody was scared, you know, because the violent people were coming. They just didn't know that it wasn't us, you know. But anyway, she, I remember seeing her going around interviewing everybody before, and then her little interview, or she was really upset because she had feces on her. Wow. And it was almost comical, you know. I shouldn't laugh, but it wasn't easy.
So she was there. She got there a day or two before, and she was she there that day, the day of the battle, or do you know?
Yes, wow. I believe she was because you know she was like I said, she was complaining because somebody feces on her.
That is dynamite. I wonder. That begs the question: has she ever come out? We know who threw the feces and who threw the feces from the get-go until the end. And she has to know. I wonder if she's ever had the intellectual courage to come in and point the finger. Probably not. But that is a golden nugget of knowledge. I had no idea she was there. And Miss Patty, you talked about being pepper sprayed too. And you, it really. How long did it take you to get over the being pepper sprayed?
Oh, it took several minutes to finally get my bearings because, I mean, you can't breathe with that stuff. I mean, you can't breathe, you can't see. And from what I understand, I mean, there was a a young man beside me. We were sharing the sidewalk, and he was beside me doing the same thing, and I couldn't even ask him if he was okay because I couldn't breathe. It was a day to remember. It was just incredibly crazy because, like I said before, I've never been to an event like that. All of the others were very, you had the police doing their job. They were just there to keep the violence down to a minimum. We had the bomb sniffing dogs, and then the sanitation department would come remove all the trash cans just to make sure nobody did anything, you know, harmful to anybody. And then this was a totally different battle. I mean, it's totally different. It was just amazing that there weren't more people harmed or even killed. I mean, it was just incredible. I never want to see anybody go through that again.
Miss Petty, a question pops in my mind. I don't think I've ever asked Rand. You know, you live in the heart of Dixie in Alabama. How have you been received after Charlottesville, when you returned? The people, your friends and neighbors that knew you were at Charlottesville, did they treat you any differently in negative ways, or were they positive or affirming what you did? What did you notice any difference?
The majority were very supportive, very shocked that I was there, because a lot of people didn't know. So a lot of people were shocked. A lot of people were very, very supportive, you know. And I even had one lady say to me, because I was saying something about we really got to get out and fight to save our monuments because that's our Southern heritage. And I said, I was at Charlottesville, and she says, well, y'all need to do a better job because they're taking them down. What? I'm like, what?
My God.
I'm like, I just kind of looked at her and said, wait a minute. It's not my job to do anything by myself. And I've had so many people to complain about the situation of our country right now, and somebody needs to do something. And I'm like, you are that somebody. Get up and do something. I know. You can't wait on somebody else to do it. You've got to do it. You've got to have the mentality, I am the line in the sand. I am. You got to do that. Because otherwise, you've lost already. You know, that's just the bottom line.
It most certainly is. And, you know, I can ask another question. There's no way you can know what I'm going to ask you. But in your opinion, you've been around people a lot. And the people that consider themselves white, Christian, pro-white, the ones that are not woke, the people that do not hate themselves, we've got about a minute and a half left. What percent of them do you think are supportive of us? And how many of the bunch that supports what we do, that congratulated you, how many would you think would be willing to get in the street and help us get it done? When it hits the fan, how many are they going to be there ready to rhetorically affix bayonets and charge the machine guns? How many would you think, Miss Patty?
Not too many. I tell you, the majority of them would rather send you a check than get out there and help you fight. I mean, they'll support you. They'll give you money. Because they want you to do the dirty work, but they don't want to get out there and fight, you know. So it's a very small percentage. But they believe what you believe. They believe in, you know, being good Christian people. And
Miss Patty, I think we've run out. We've got to get to a quick break. The music's kind of low, but I think I hear it. We're going to bring on, I would love to keep you on, but we're going to bring on Rich Hamblin now. Miss Patty, you've got to come on again. Thank you so, so much, Miss Patty. God bless you, dear.
Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you, ma'am. People, that lady stole the show. I wish we could keep her on with the Rich, but we got Rich coming on in just a minute. Rich Hamblin, the Bearded Wonder, I rode to Charlottesville with, the Battle of Charlottesville with. That's where we bonded together, CLR Brotherhood. Be right back, folks.